చాప్టర్ 9 రాజవిద్య రాజగుహ్య యోగ శ్లోక 23 ఏప్యన్యదేవతా భక్తాః యజంతే శ్రద్ధయాన్వితాః తేపి మామేవ కౌంతేయ యజంత్య విధి పూర్వకం. సో వి సెడ్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ ఇన్ శ్లోకాస్ 23-25 Krishna is comparing Krishna Bhakti to the Bhakti towards other Devatas. Krishna Bhakti versus Anya Devata Bhakti. That's what he was comparing. And he wants to say that Krishna Bhakti is superior. And this is the content of these shlokas. And we saw in Shloka 23, where Krishna said that even those devotees who are endowed with faith worship other devatas, they also worship me alone, even though they are ignorant of that fact. Krishna says, avidhi purvakam. In this context, we also saw Shankaracharya gives the meaning for avidhi as ajnanam. It is with ignorance they are worshipping other devatas. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the fact that there is only one infinite deity manifest in all these finite devatas. They are ignorant of that fact. So behind every finite devata, there is this infinite Brahman, which they do not understand, which they do not know. If they had known, then they would have understood that behind themselves also, there is Brahman. Because I do not know that behind every finite devata, finite jiva also there is Brahman. I do not know behind every finite devata also there is Brahman. So they worship all finite devatas. And therefore the phalam also will be what? It also happens to be finite. They worship finite devatas. The phalam also is going to be finite. So the defects because of the ignorance. What is the consequence? They are all said in the next shloka, shloka 24, that we will read today. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha natu mam abhijananti tatvena tachyavantite. This is shloka 14 and in this shloka 24 and in this shloka this is almost a repetition of the previous shloka only. Only the last part is new. And what does Krishna say here? Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta. Same as mam eva yajanti of the previous shloka. I alone am the receiver of all pujas. I represent what? Krishna, the total devata. I am the receiver of all the pujas done to any finite devata. Not knowing this fact alone, many people get into confusion and they ask, how is it that we have so many gods in our Hindu Dharma? They all ask these questions. Not only they ask these questions, they are also worried. There are so many photos in my house. There are so many vigrahas in my house. I am not able to do puja for all of them. Will Subramanya be angry with me? Will Krishna be angry with me because I am only having time to worship Ganapati? They are all worried. Remember, we say, ekameva advitiyam. We don't have too many gods. Ekameva advitiyam. There is no two at all. Only we say that one single god can be worshipped through many symbols. They are all symbols. Rama is a symbol. Krishna is a symbol. Every finite form is a symbol or a medium for worshipping that one Lord, the infinite. And that is what is said here. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta. I alone am the receiver of all the yajnas. But he also adds one point here. And what does he say? Prabhuhu evacha. It is not told in the previous shloka. In this shloka only he says, I am the master also. Here master means what? Karma pala dhata. That's what it means by master. I alone give the palam. No deity can give palam by itself. For example, if one's Ishta Devata gives a palam, the Ishta Devata itself has received the palam from whom? From the total Devata only. It is like the postman giving the money order. Remember, behind that money that he gives, there is some relative or some friend or someone who has sent that money, who is not seen here. So it is coming from that invisible source through a visible deity. Similarly, one infinite Ishvara, through various devatas, he gives the karma phalam. So he is Prabhu. But what happens? Since they are not seeing the source, they become ignorant of the source. And so Krishna says, Natu mam abhijananti. They do not know that behind these finite deities, there is this infinite deity, that is myself, Krishna. And since they do not know this, they also do not know that they can seek infinite phalam also. Because moksha is infinite. You should remember, which is infinite phalam. In essence, they worship finite deities to seek finite phalam only. Natumam abhijananti. They do not know me. Which has been told actually in the previous shloka also. Avidhi purvakam. We said at that time, avidhi was given the meaning of ajnanam by Shankaracharya. And that too how? Tatvena. Tatvena, very important. Tatvena na mam abhijananti. They do not know me in my true nature. Tatvena, tatvam, my true nature, they do not know. They know me only in my false nature, as Krishna, as born on a Janmashtami day, having a blue color, wearing all yellow clothes. They only know my apara prakriti swarupam, not my para prakriti swarupam. You should be all familiar with these terms. We have seen this in detail earlier. Maya tadamidam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. That swarupam they do not know. That apara prakriti, that these people, they only know that much, not my para prakriti. So what? Shavantite, they fall. Therefore, they fall into what? Into samsara. They continue to be in samsara only. They don't get moksha at all. And the unfortunate thing is what? Here, they have become bhaktas. They all have become my bhaktas. And they have come to worship the Lord also. Even though they have come to choose some so close to bhakta, moksha, only change is what? They have to change their attitude. They have come so close to moksha. They are bhaktas now, but they have to change their attitude. Oh Rama, you stand for infinite. That's what they should think. And you don't give me dhanam, danyam, pashum, bahuputra, labam, all that don't give me. I don't want any of those. You give me infinite moksha. Only a small change in our sankalpa we should make. That's all is needed. They can get moksha so easily. That's what Krishna says. He's going to tell later, patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, any of those things you can offer. So they have taken human janma, they have become devotees of the Lord, they have spent a lot of time in worshipping Him also, and having come so close to moksha, again they fall back into samsara. Why? Asking for all finite things, mundane things like money, wealth, relationship, all those things, name, fame, everything. So shavantite, they fall. They continue in samsara, they become what now? Religious samsari. Otherwise, they were all maybe atheists. Now they have come to religion. They worship me. They become bhaktas. Still, they are in samsara only. Shloka 25. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrun yanti pitruvrataha bhutani yanti bhutejyaha yanti madhyajino pimam. Here, Krishna very clearly says that it is not the pujas that determine the phalam, not the deity that determine the phalam also, but it is the attitude that is going to determine the phalam of any action. That means what? All deities are equally good. Choose anyone whom you want. Remember the checkbook example. I don't know whether I gave this checkbook example in the Gita lectures, maybe somewhere I have given the check leaves. If you take a checkbook, all the check leaves are equal only. There is nothing like this check leaf is superior to the other one. All are equal. But what is the difference? The importance comes only after we write in that. If you write $10 check, it has a lesser value compared to a check that has there where you write $1,000 in that. So what we invoke in the deity alone is going to matter. For example, in Lakshmi itself, there are so many Lakshmis. We have got Dhanalakshmi, Danya Lakshmi, Veera Lakshmi, Vijaya Lakshmi, Santana Lakshmi. So many Lakshmis are there. If you want to win a job, for example, then you pray to Vijaya Lakshmi. Therefore, Lakshmi remaining the same, what she gives you depends on what you invoke in her. Does anyone worship Sadhana Chaturthaya Sampanna Lakshmi? Nobody even thinks of her. So what matters is how to invoke. How do you invoke in them? Once you have invoked the total, oh Lord, I am not interested in worldly things, but I am interested only in the total. Then the very same deity as the infinite Lord can bless you with infinite phalam. Then that deity worship will become what? Ishwara worship or Brahman worship. Indra puja will also become Ishwara puja. So is Chandra puja. So is Krishna puja. All of them will become Ishwara puja only when the attitude, only what we invoke in them, that changes. And so the phalam also is what? Will vary accordingly. When I invoke a finite devata, I get finite phalam. If infinite devata is invoked, I get infinite phalam. That is what is said here. Devavrata, Devan, Yanti. Worshippers of Devas, Devavratas. They attain Devan, Yanti. They attain Devaloka. They attain the Devas. Pitruvrataha, Pitrunyanti. Those who worship the ancestors, the Pitru Devatas, through Shraddhas, through Tarpana, all those things, they go to Pitruloka. Then Bhutejyaha, Bhutani Yanti. Worshippers of various spirits, Bhutas, Yaksha, all those things, Gandharvas. Every lord has got various Ganadevatas. Virabhadra, etc. for Shiva, and Sapta Matruka for Devi, they are all called Ganadevatas. All these are called Ganadevatas. They are referred here as Bhutani. Those who worship such spirits, such Ganadevatas, Bhutani Yanti, they attain such position, such lokas, whereas Madhyajinaha, those who worship me, Madhyajinaha, the Ishwara, the total, in any form, that we should remember, what they attain? Mam Yanti, they attain me, the infinite phalam, the moksha they get. And so here Krishna puts the entire responsibility on whom? On the worshipper. He simply washed off his hands. It is all on the part of the worshipper. Don't say, I do not give moksha. I will only say that you didn't ask for it. If you had asked me for moksha, I could have given you. You invoked me in all finite form and you sought a finite result. And so I gave you that finite palam only. And that palam being finite, you continue to be where? In samsara. You will get wealth if you worship me. But wealth will end. So, antavantu palam tesham tadbhavat yadpamedasam. So, devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. So, very parallel shloka in the 7th chapter we saw actually. Devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. But then he adds there actually in that context, antavantu palam tesham. When they want worldly benefit, I will give, but they will all perish. When they get worldly benefit, they may enjoy it for some time. But what will happen to them? They will all perish. They will again come back to the punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam cycle, samsara. What one gets does not depend on God's choice at all. Because people generally, what do they think? If Lord wills, if the Lord wishes, I will get moksha. Put all responsibility on God and they can do anything they like. That's what people think. It is very dangerous philosophy. Purushartha will be zero. Here Lord says, if you seek infinite, you will get it. So moksha is not prarabdha, but moksha is purushartha. That is what you should understand clearly. It is not one's destiny. It is what you get by your effort. By jnana marga, one can get it. Shloka 26. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Yo me bhaktya prayachasi prayachati tadaham bhaktyupaharatam ashnami prayatatmanaha. So in shloka 25, the previous shloka, Krishna said, those who worship me, the infinite, will attain infinite, namely moksha. So worship of the infinite Lord is superior than worshipping of all finite devatas. Now this can create a doubt, because when we come to finite God, we find the complexity of pujas or whatever rituals we do, they become more and more as the status of the deity becomes higher. Naivedyam becomes more, number of priests involved are more, disciplines are more, days are more. So higher the result, higher the complexity, higher the rules, higher the regulations, so many things are there when you do a big ritual. And if you don't observe all those rules, phalam will not come. The time is prescribed when you should do it, even what type of vastram you should wear. So if he has any problem, and if he goes to an astrologer, what the astrologer will say? Then this is Rahu Dosha, this is Shani Dosha. He tells all those things. So you have to propitiate Rahu, you have to propitiate Shani, give some colored vastram, particular grain, do so many times that particular homa, give a lot of dakshina, all those things he says. Or observe the vrata for so many days or months. One mandalam, you should observe this vrata. So higher the status, higher the puja. Even in worldly matters, we will find easily, if you want to get a simple certificate, if it is from a local office, then the dakshina is a small one. We all know it, especially from India, this is very common. If you want a small certificate from a local office, dakshina is small. If you have to go to an MLA or an MP or some minister, something, then there is a different requirement. So as the result becomes higher and higher, the puja becomes tougher and tougher. If infinite devata, then I want to worship to get infinite phalam, the puja also must be very high. That is what normally we will extrapolate. But Lord says, your logic does not work like that here. When you come to infinite, all other rules become invalid. Getting the infinite is the easiest, Krishna guarantees. Getting the infinite, moksha, is the easiest. When you want a limited space, for example, we have to travel, let us say, to go to New York. We want to find an apartment or something in New York. We have to go to New York, search for those, go through so many realtors and all that thing. A limited space, maybe a studio apartment, maybe 300, 400 square feet. But when you want to reach limitless place, these are all limited place. If you want to reach limitless place, how far should you travel? Ihaiva, atraiva. You cannot use that last logic. If you want infinite space, it is right here. Krishna says, worshipping the infinite Ishvara to get infinite phalam is the easiest type of worship. We don't have to go too far to get infinite space. It is here right now. Whatever space we are is infinite space. There is no prescribed time. There is no prescribed niyama. There is no prescribed flowers, mantra. None of those things are needed. You can do anything. Only thing, you should make sure it should not be a sakama bhakti. If sakama, it will become finite. So if you are worshipping the infinite, for the sake of infinite result, nishkama puja alone can give you that. Then no niyamas are needed. So neha bikramana shosi pratyavayo na vidyate. We have seen this. Swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even the chanting may be wrong. Does not matter. Spelling may be wrong. Mistakes may be there. Does not matter. You cannot conclude a puja. Does not matter. Because what you seek is not any finite result. Not a sakama result. But it is a nishkama bhakti. So the Lord says, patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, prayachati. Whatever a devotee offers, patram, it's whether leaf, pushpam, flower, palam, fruit, toyam, water, whatever you want to offer. I don't require this payasam and that payasam. You know, if you go to some temples, Guruvayurappan temple, there is nei payasam. So there are so many places, different types of naivedyams, all those things are there. Where they are all for particular pujas. We need, in Lalita Sahasranama, 6 different types of naivedyams are prescribed. All those things are given. They are all for a particular type of puja, particular type of naivedyam, for this result. All those things are prescribed in the scriptures. Anything is fine, but one condition is what? Bhaktya prayachati. He must have sincere devotion. If he offers any of those things with sincere devotion, that devotion indicates what? He has mumukshutvam. I want to attain the Lord alone. That is all my interest. Not interested in dharma, artha, kama. No. I want to attain only the Lord. I am interested in Ishwara alone. Ishwara and Moksha are identical. We should remember. The only difference is what? In the Puranas or in Bhakti literature, people are using the word Moksha. They use the word Bhagavan. In the Bhakti literature, they use the word Bhagavan instead of using the word Moksha. So in Bhagavatam, Moksha is indicated by Lord Krishna. And Bhakti is nothing but Mumukshutvam of Vedanta. Bhakti in the Bhakti literature is identical to Mumukshutvam of Vedanta. For example, the gopis, all the gopis, they had bhakti. Means what? Mumukshutvam towards Krishna. Means what? Again, moksha. So the gopis had bhakti towards Krishna means they had mumukshutvam towards moksha. So mumukshutvam for moksha is indicated by bhakti for Ishvara. Both are identical. So bhaktya. Bhaktya means without desire for anything. Nishkamataya. And with a desire for Lord alone. Prayachati. Those people who offer tat aham ashnami, that offering tat aham ashnami, I receive. Why do I receive? Bhakti upahritam, it is offered with devotion to me, with bhakti. They are offering it to me, so I receive them. And it is offered by whom? Prayatatmanaha. Prayatam, prayatam means shuddham. Atma means antakaranam, the mind. Atma is not here, Sachidananda Atma. So, with the pure mind they offer. So, Prayatatma. Prayatatma means Shuddha Antakkaranam. And Prayatatmanaha means the name of a person. So, Prayataha Atma Isyasaha. So, it is the name of the Prayatatmanaha. Those people who offer with a pure mind. What do we mean by then purity? While doing worship. What do we mean by purity? Purity is nothing but Nishkamatvam. Not doing it, this puja, for any worldly purpose. Not converting this puja as a transaction, as a commercial transaction between oneself and the Lord. Because moksha is allowed, purity motive is allowed. Other than that, my anatma desire is impurity. So all other desires, apart from the desire for moksha and desire for purity, all other anatma desires, they are all considered impurity. Any ragadvesha is impurity. Because puja can be used for these two purposes. When I do puja to get anything, something, whatever it is a puja due to what? Raga, attachment. I like this, I want to get this, I want to do this puja to get this. And there are other pujas to cause harm to others. There are some people who are interested in others, destruction of other people. They are also, done due to dvesha, hatred. So most of our pujas are either raga motivated or dvesha motivated. They are all ashuddha puja, not shuddha puja. And when it is neither raga motivated nor dvesha motivated, and when it is only moksha motivated, it becomes shuddha puja. And when it is moksha motivated, tadaham bhakti upakritam. That offering of that nishkama bhakta, I very readily receive because it is without any strings attached. No agenda at all. Other pujas also I receive. But how do I receive? With some hesitation. Hesitatingly I receive them. It is like our putting so many conditions to the Lord. If you do this for me, I will do this. You know, if you go to Tirupati, Hundi will overflow on January 1st. People would have made all kinds of deals. If you give me this much, half is yours. All deals they would have made. Hundis will overflow. But all of them are business transactions. Shloka 27. Yad karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yat yad prakashyasi kaunteya tad kurushvama darpanam. So the Lord simplifies the pujas even further. In the previous shloka itself, what he said, the worship of infinite Lord is very, very simple. There is no niyama needed. And you can offer patram, pushpam, palam, thoyam, whatever it is. Now the Lord simplifies it even further. Even if you do not offer patram, pushpam, palam, thoyam, it does not matter. You may be in a desert. There may be no water even. There may be no patram, no pushpam, palam. Definitely not. But the Lord says, all of them do not matter. Whatever you are using, you must be definitely eating something, doing or giving something. whatever you are doing, convert that itself into a worship. So, yat karoshi, whatever action you are doing, let that action be converted into an offering. Then we may wonder, how can I convert into an offering? Because offering is to the Lord. But I am doing this karma for my boss. I go to the office, I do this karma for to my boss. How can I offer it to the Lord? Krishna says, does not matter. You convert your boss by your attitude. Do not tell him though. You can imagine that person as the manifestation of the Lord. So when I am doing an action for a person, think of that person as the Lord and think of the action as the flower. Purely mental. There is no requirement of any physical action. Just imagine. Do not ask me, how can I think of that boss who is so terrible as the Lord? If we can worship a snake which is so poisonous in our tradition, that is not at all important. So what you superimpose, that alone is important. So remember, it is not that person is going to bless us, but it is the attitude that will bless us. Not that person is even any capable of blessing us, but our attitude will bless us. So even a leper, a beggar, when I am going to give a rupee as offering, even though he is so lowly physically, I can invoke Daridra Narayana in him and consider the 1 rupee as a flower. Then that also becomes a great worship. That's what the Lord says. So he says, yat karoshi, whatever you are doing, need not be any spiritual thing at all. Even mundane activities you may be involved in. That is why in our tradition, we don't have a secular and sacred separately thing. We don't have 2 things separately at all. We invoke Lord for everything. In the dance, we invoke Lord. Music, we invoke Lord. Take the child to LKG, we invoke Lord. Everywhere we invoke the Lord. Even if you are installing a new machinery in the workshop, invoke the Lord. We put Chandan, Kungumam, Arati, all those you do to that machine. So convert a secular activity also to a sacred activity so that in and through your material pursuit, you are inching towards moksha. Inch by inch, you are going towards the Lord. And Yadashnasi, whatever you are eating, and yet juhoshi, whatever homa you are doing, you happen to do. You may do some ritual, some homa, doesn't matter. Because in homas, we invoke what? We invoke various finite devatas. Like Indra Yaswaha, Agna Yaswaha, Prajapata Yaswaha, Brihaspata Yaswaha. You invoke so many deities. Even though the offering is to finite devatas, you see in those devatas what? The infinite Lord. So it's an attitude. Behind Indra is Krishna. Behind Agni is Krishna. So that's what one should think. Krishna means not this Krishna, not this Janmashtami Krishna, that infinite Lord Krishna. Then those offerings also will become offerings to the infinite. And yat dadasi, whatever you give to anyone, you are donating some money to some organization, flood relief fund, hurricane relief, whatever. That also is Krishna arpanam. Yat dadasi. And yat tapasyasi, whatever discipline you follow, even if it is a upavasa for health, yoga for health, whatever discipline you follow, tat madarpanam kurushva, convert all of them into an offering unto me, madarpanam, the infinite. This alone was called karma yoga in the 3rd chapter. We saw that elaborately at that time. Yajñārthāt karmaṇon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha tatartham karma kaunteya mukta saṅga samāchara. We saw that shloka at that time. So we come to know here that karma yoga and bhakti yoga are one and the same alone. That's what we understand here. From the standpoint of the body, it is called karma yoga. And from that of attitude, it is called bhakti yoga. So worshipping the infinite or getting the infinite is not at all difficult according to Krishna. Still people have not got it. Why? If it is so easy, why people have not got it? Because of the simple reason that they have not yet wanted it. If they had wanted it, they would have also got, but they had not wanted it. This is Krishna's conclusion. Majority of people have not got moksha, not because moksha is difficult, because according to Krishna, moksha is the easiest. and the people have not got it. It's only because they have done only lip service to moksha. They tell in front of deities that I want moksha. And if the deity becomes serious and if the Lord asks them, are you ready to come for moksha right now? Then they will say, let me finish my daughter's marriage or my granddaughter's marriage and my grandchild is being expected now. So let me wait for that and I will come tomorrow or after a week. So we have not sincerely asked the Lord for moksha yet. Therefore, if you want, it is available. That's what Krishna says. So tatim kurushvam madarpanam. Okay, as a result of offering, you know, offering anything like this, what will happen? And that is what is said in the next shloka, shloka 28, that we will read.
Shubha shubha palairevam mokshyase karma bandhanaihi sanyasa yoga yuktatma vimukto mamu paishyasi.
Shloka 28. We said, the bhakti described in the previous shloka is identical with karma yoga of third chapter. That's what we said just now. So in karma yoga, what we did, he offers everything as Ishwara arpanam. Here also madarpanam, that's what the Lord says, offer to me. And we also looked at the parallel shloka, yajñārthāt karmano yatra lokayam karma bandhanaham tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samāchara. We saw that shloka also. Third chapter, shloka 9. So do all our karmas as yajñas, as offering to the Lord. Whatever karma we do, from physical standpoint, we call it karma yoga. From the view of mental standpoint, we call it bhakti yoga. So the result is what? What is the palam of bhakti yoga also is, will be exactly same as karma yoga. Okay, what was the palam of karma yoga? In the second chapter, it was said, buddhi yukto jahati hai ube sukrita duskrite tasmat yogaya yujyasvam yoga karmasu kaushalam. That's what Krishna said in the second chapter. So a karma yoga, karma yogi, he gives up both punya palam and papa palam. Both do not come to a karma yogi because he has rejected both in his sankalpa. Ube, he rejected both of them. I don't want anything. The same palam is set here also. Shubham ashubha palaihi mokshyase. By this bhakti yoga, the benefit is what? You will be freed from shubha ashubha palaihi, which is karma bandhanaihi, the bonds of karma, karma bandhanam, which consists of what? Shubha palam, punya shubha palam is punya palam, and ashubha palam is papa palam. So this is bahugrihi actually, shubha palam cha, ashubha palam cha, yasya karma bandhanasya. So the idea is what? Karma by itself is not a bondage, because jnani also is involved in number of actions. Many jnanis, they are involved in number of actions. So if karma is a bondage, then every jnani who is active should also be bound by karma. Then what is bondage? When karma produces the punya papa palam, that palam creates the problem. Only the palam creates the problem. Punyam produces one type of palam, that is attachment. And papam produces another type of palam called hatred. So karma swayam na badnati, karma paladvara badnati. Karma binds a person through the results only, not by karma by itself. So success also is a bondage, and so is failure. So what we say is, karma is a bond only through the palam, through the result. And if you are able to take care of the palam aspect, the result aspect of it, actually to use Swamiji's expression, if you are able to neutralize the palam aspect by your attitude of what? Bhakti or detachment. Karmanyeva adhikarahate mapaleshu kadachana. If you understand that, I have done one action. Whatever result comes, we should be intelligent enough to accept any result. We should not be judgmental about the result. This is called detachment. Readiness to accept any result. Or another attitude is what? Prasada buddhi. Again, third chapter, we have seen this. Anything is coming from the Lord because I have offered them to the Lord. Whatever action I offered to the Lord, the palam is what is coming from the Lord. Take it as Ishwara Prasada. then what happens? Punya palam and papa palam, they do not affect me because I consider them all as Ishvara Prasadam. And this is the palam, that is the palam is the poisonous fang. For example, if you take a snake, the poisonous fang, that alone is the problem. Swamiji gives this example. A cobra is dangerous only as long as the fang is there. After plugging the fang, it is a beautiful reptile which you can put on your neck even. Similarly, karma is a cobra. So long as the palam fang is there, it is a cobra. And if you have detachment and prasada buddhi, then what happens? That poison is neutralized and karma becomes a beautiful reptile, a blessing that we got. That is what Krishna says here. Karma bandhanaihi mokshyase, freed from the bonds of karma, because the palam will not affect us anymore. We will have samatvam. Samatvam yoga uchyate. We have seen those earlier. And once we have come to this much change, then moksha is not far away at all. It is very easy to attain. This itself is not moksha. We should understand that clearly. Moksha is what? Atmajnanam. Sooner or later, he will be liberated. That is what is said here. Sannyasa yoga yuktatma. This is a very, very beautiful title given to a Nishkama Bhakta. That is what the title given by Krishna here. The one whose mind is endowed with sannyasa buddhi and yoga bhakti. Yoga buddhi, sannyasa, yoga, yuktatma. How can a person be a sannyasi and yogi at the same time? Shankaracharya writes, he is called a sannyasi because he renounces the punya papa palam. In favor of what? In favor of chitta shuddhi. To get purity of mind, he has renounced the punya papa palam. And therefore, he is a karma pala sannyasi. Not a karma sannyasi. He has done action. He is still engaged in action. But he has renounced the karma palam. So he is a karma pala sannyasi, not a karma sannyasi. He can be very much in grahastashrama also. He is not a karma sannyasi. He doesn't have to take talker robes. He can be in grahastashrama and be very detached. Still he is called a sannyasi only because he is a karma pala sannyasi. At the same time, since he is performing lot of karmas, he has only renounced the palam, he is called a yogi also. So we ask the question, how he can be a sannyasi and a yogi at the same time? Because he renounced the karma palam, he is called a karma pala sannyasi. Because he has only renounced the palam, he is called a yogi also. And so the one who is sannyasi and yogi, the one who is a nishkama bhakta, what happens to him? Vimuktaha bhavati. He becomes freed. He becomes freed from what? From samsara. Then does he become free just like that? We should ask that question, because then people will be thinking that through bhakti yoga I can go to moksha. Remember, he has to go through a lot of stages. Krishna has not described all of them here. Initially, he is a nishkama bhakta. And still his attitude towards the Lord is what? Lord is a person. That's what he thinks. So this is the lowest step. So his attitude is still, Lord is the person. From there, the attitude towards the Lord should gradually change. Even in Saint Tyagaraja's case, what did he do? We find Tyagaraja had a lot of Nishkama Bhakti, all right. Still he thought Rama was a person. Rama was that idol, and he was so attached to that idol of Rama so much, when his brother threw away the idol into the river, Tyagaraja became terribly upset. So even a Nishkama Bhakta like Tyagaraja can have an initial attitude that Lord is a person. As long as this attitude is there, even though he has Nishkama Bhakti, it will not give moksha. Attitude is good, but Lord is not yet understood properly by this person. Mind has become pure, all right, but has not become wise. Mind is pure because of what? He has Nishkama Bhakti. It is not wise because he thinks Lord is still a person. Therefore, gradually, mind has to expand. And he has to understand that Lord is not a form, but Lord is all forms. So Tyagaraja himself says that the entire Andandam and Pindandam is Ramamayam. That's what he says. So Nishkama Bhakti only purifies the mind, but it cannot replace scriptural study. One has to go through the study of scriptures, go through Jnana Marga and gain Jnanam and ultimately gain Moksha. It should precede scriptural study. So even after coming to Virat Bhakti, somebody has come to Hiranyagarbha, Virat Bhakti has come. Still Moksha is not there because that is also Saguna Bhakti only. It is not Nishkama Bhakti. Virat Bhakti also is Saguna Bhakti only because Virat is Sagunaha with forms and colors. Then he has to go further to Vedanta Vichara, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all those steps and understand that my Lord is beyond all gunas, gunatitaha. He has to understand that. It is not that someone sings some songs and sheds tears and get liberated. Doesn't work. I became so emotionally so much. I got so much drawn to the Lord. I sing, do bhajans, I cry, all the dance. All of them still won't take to moksha because still the Atma Jnanam has to come. So no one has to go through every stage properly. So one has to go through all the stages properly in the Jnana Marga to gain Moksha ultimately. So that is why it is said, Jnana Deva Tu Kaivalyam Nanya Panta Ayanaya Vidyate. That's what it is. So in this shloka, between Sannyasa Yoga Yuktatma and Vimuktaha, there is only a small gap, 1 millimeter gap only in this book. But we should add Sadva Siddhi, Guru Prapti, Jnana Prapti Dvarena Vimuktaha Bhavati. Only through all these steps he will become Vimuktaha. And he attains preparation, attains a guru, attains knowledge, and finally Vimukti. And this Vimuktaha, that is indicated, that indicates Jivan Mukti. Vimuktaha, when it is said, Vimukti indicates Jivan Mukti while he lives. How long that Jivan Mukti will last? As long as Prarabdha continues. Once the Prarabdha ends, he will give away this body. Prarabdha is over, Mam Upaishyasi. It refers to Videha Mukti. So while living, he will become a Jivan Mukta. And after the body goes away, he gets Videha Mukti also, refers to Jivan Mukti. And so Vimuktaha refers to Jivan Mukti. And this is Mam Upaishyasi, gives Videha Mukti also. He attains oneness with me. Not Mr. Krishna. Understand that. Not that Janmashtami Krishna, but Param Brahma, Krishna in the form here. So Brahma Nirvanam Richati. We saw in the 5th chapter, Brahma Nirvanam Richati. That is what he attains. Shloka 28. Shubhab. Yeah, oh, that's what we just now did. And let us go to which is the second book, right? Yeah. 28, I finished now. Yeah, 29. Samo, actually 29 and this thing has to be done together. But I will still do it. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name doshyosti napriyaham ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mahite teshu chapyaham. So the Lord said, those who worship me attain me. In the 25th shloka. Yanti Devavrata Devan, Pitriyanti Pitruvrataha, Bhutani Yanti Podejaha, Yanti Madhyajinopi Mam. That's what he said in 25th shloka. That is, all people will not come to me and attain moksha. Only those who worship me will be given moksha. You have to ask for moksha. That's what Lord said. Others will be sent to various other places. He will dispatch them to various other Punya Lokas. Then what we will conclude? Aha. Lord also is Stuti Priyaha. If you worship him, if you say Stuti about him, then he is so happy, he will give you moksha. Otherwise, he will send to all other smaller lokas. So he will favor only his devotees, exactly like the local politicians and all other people. Those who worship him, he gives moksha. That's what we will think. So all those who worship others, he gives those lokas. So Lord seems to have what? Vaishamya this is a very beautiful this thing in Ragadvesha thing. So Vaishamya Naigrinya. So the Lord has, you know, he also has Ragadveshas. So partially he has likes and dislikes. So he sends people to all other lokas if they don't worship him. That is why we are very, very careful in saying that Lord is not responsible for mukti. We are so careful. Some people are not getting mukti, then the Lord will be responsible for their samsara also. Then Lord will become what? A partial Lord. So we should say that Lord is not responsible. As far as Lord's grace is concerned, it is equally available for all. That's what we should understand. As Shankaracharya says in the Saundari Lagari, Vaneva Hirmeva Samakara Nipato Himakaraha. The moonlight, it falls with equal intensity in all places. Whether it is a forest, Vaneva Hirmeva, or a palace, wherever it falls equally only. The moonlight does not have Pakshabheda. So it is the mother's loving drishti. Shankaracharya, he did not like sun's rays, you know. Sun's rays are scorching light. So even though it is true for that also, sun's rays also, they fall everywhere. Similarly, Shankaracharya wants to give moon's light. Similarly, Lord's grace is there equally for all. And so he is not responsible. So it is us who are responsible, either in tapping the Lord's grace or not. If we can tap Lord's grace, we will benefit. Otherwise, we won't. Those bhaktas who make use of the grace, they get moksha. And so one makes use of it or not is one's own purushartha, not Lord's. So Krishna very, very boldly says a very important shloka actually. Many people are confused that they think if the Lord wills, then they will get moksha. Otherwise they won't. That's what many people think. So Krishna says, Aham Samaha. I am same. I have equal love and grace to everybody. To whom? Sarva Bhuteshu. Whether one is the greatest sinner or the greatest devotee, for all of them, I have the same attitude. My love is equal to all of them. In fact, Lord has no choice in that also. Because Lord's Swarupam is what? Is grace only. It cannot have any other Swarupam. Love is the very nature of the Lord. So even if the Lord wants to withdraw, it is not possible for him. Because that is his Swarupam. Like the sun. Even if the sun wants to withdraw light, can it do that? It's not possible. Why? Suryasya Swarupameva Prakashaha. Therefore, we can never see a dark sun. Similarly, a graceless Lord is a misnomer. So, Aham Sarva Bhuteshu Samaha. All beings Samaha. Still, some people do not understand. So, Krishna further comments upon that Samatvam. He says, Sama means what? Name Dveshyaha, Name Priyaha. There is no one whom I hate, Dveshyaha. Nor whom I specially love, Priyaha. Everyone is equal to me. On the other hand, what happens? Some people choose to come near me and some people choose to remain far away from me. What can I do? So I cannot do anything. Here Shankaracharya gives a very, very beautiful example. He says, there is Agni. And Agni has got what power? Shita Apanayana Shaktihi. The power to remove cold, Agni has got. And in the winter, imagine the fire is here in some place. And some people come and sit near the fire. What do they feel? They feel the warmth of the fire. They are not tortured by the winter cold. And some people are sitting far away, shivering with cold. Even when those sitting near the fire invite them to the fire, they still sit far away and complain that Agni is very partial. How this Agni is removing the coal only from people who are near it and is not doing anything for me. That is their complaint. If people complain that fire is partial, is it not their foolishness? That's what Shankaracharya asked in his example. So fire is not at all partial. Whoever comes to it, their coal is removed. Similarly, whoever wants to make use of the Lord, they can make use of the Lord. Emam bhaktya bhajanti. Those who seek me with devotion, bhaktya, mayi, stay, mayite vishanti. The verb has to be separately understood here. They come to me, they merge in me, they enter into me. They become one with me. And aham cha api teshu. I also enter into them. I also become one with them. Whereas those who do not seek me or who do not worship me, they remain far away from me. Bhaktas choose to remain closer to me. They become one with me. Whereas abhaktas, they chose to remain far away from me. Okay, here also we should remember carefully, because these words can be very confusing. One should not, one should understand these things very properly. When I say bhaktas who choose to remain closer to the Lord and abhaktas choose to remain far away from the Lord, that may be confusing a little bit. Closer and far away means what? Right? That is because we are talking from Vedanta angle. So closer, far away, all we should understand clearly. Lord is sitting somewhere, like, you know, the Agni in the example. So he sits in the temple or Vaikuntham or Kailasam someplace. And whoever is closer to the Lord, Samipyam, they'll be fine. Not closer will not be fine. People may think all these. We have to remember, really speaking, Lord cannot be closer or farther to anyone. Because Lord is what? Lord is all pervading. Then how do we say some is closer and others are not, others are farther? Those who know the identity, they are closer. Because they don't feel the distance. Because they feel themselves and the Lord are one and the same. They don't have Bheda Buddhi. Therefore, bhaktas are closer means bhaktas have known, they have become jnanis of Ishwara's identity. They have become, they know that they are identical with Ishwara. And so they don't feel that the Lord is away. Whereas abhaktas, they are also close to the Lord only. They are not far away. But Lord being all pervasive, they are also close to the Lord. But what is their problem? They have not still recognized the Lord because of their ajnanam, because of their ignorance. They feel they are far away from the Lord. So bhaktas know they are one with the Lord, and abhaktas feel that they are far away from the Lord. The problem is only in the mind or in their heads. Physically, Lord is neither away nor closer. Problem is because of ignorance that they feel there is a separation. Because of knowledge, that separation will be gone. Bhaktas have gained knowledge, therefore no separate buddhi, the idea of separation is not there for them. Whereas abhaktas have Bheda Buddhi. And so whether you should be one with me or away from me is what? Whose choice? Is your choice. It's not Lord's choice. That is why we said moksha is a purushartha. It is not a divine will or destiny. People should erase those things from their minds. Moksha is a purushartha. Dharma, artha, kama and moksha is a purushartha. It is something we have to seek and attain. Some Lord will not come and give it in a plate to us. We have to seek and attain. Then what will be the next question? Krishna is going to continue the next week. That I think we will not be able to complete it today. So I will take it up in the next week. So sloka number 30, and we can go further. And this chapter also, we have only a few more things to finish. We'll finish it there. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Sri Krishna. Narayana.